Stand, please. Maybe seated. Beloved, let us love one another, because love is from God, and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, for God is love. God's love was revealed among us in this way. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might live through him. In this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Beloved, since God loved us so much, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. If we love one another, God lives in us, and his love is perfected in us. By this we know that we abide in him and he in us, because he has given us this Spirit, the Spirit of love. Well, friends, we have gathered here today to praise our God and to witness to our own faith as we celebrate the life of Joe Becker. We come together in grief, acknowledging our human loss. May God grant us grace that in pain we may find comfort, in sorrow hope, and in death resurrection. For Jesus said, I am the resurrection, I am life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, yet shall they live. And whosoever lives and believes in me shall never die. I am Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. I died, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Because I live, you shall live also. Let us stand and sing our first hymn. You'll find hymnals in the pew back.
Our hopes, our aims are one, our cause.
If you would return to the bulletin at the opening prayer, the Lord be with you. Let us pray. Eternal God, we praise you for the great company of all those who have finished their course in faith and now rest from their labor. We praise you for those dear to us whom we name in our hearts before you. Especially we praise you for Joe Becker, whom you have graciously received into your presence. To all of these, grant your peace. Let perpetual light shine upon them and help us so to believe where we have not seen, that your presence may lead us through our years and bring us at last with them into the joy of your home, not made with hands, but eternal in the heavens, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. The Lord is my shepherd. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He restoreth my soul. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is the one true church, apostolic and universal, whose holy faith let us now declare, I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. The third day he rose from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Be seated. And Steve, it's time for you.
Good afternoon, everyone. They asked that I be brief, so unlike me, I actually wrote something out to control my ad-libbing. We're each one here today to say goodbye to a very dear friend. Perhaps more than just a friend, Joe Becker was an example for all of us. As all of us know, Joe is a member and one of the founders of Windy Crest Sailing Club. At Windy Crest, we have what we call the spirit of Windy Crest. In the short time I have up here, I'll not try to explain or define this. Suffice it to say that, in a general sense, the spirit of Windy Crest is an attitude, something you just feel, a karma. Well, it's been 22 years since the first time I got to race with Joe. I remember the winds were quite high that day, and I hadn't been sailing all that long, so I was somewhat between apprehensive about the conditions out there and somewhat in awe to get to sail with Joe. Well, probably 5 or 6 minutes before the start of the race, the outhaul on Joe's beloved boat, Luff Affair, blew up. And to those non-sailors here, that's the thingamajig that holds the back of the sail down. So what happened immediately was the sail filled up, the boat gets blown down onto its side, and we're being pushed into the shore. Well, you just have to sail with Joe a little bit, but kind of like magic, he reaches in his pocket and he pulls out a piece of line, and he instructs me about how to do a quick repair on this thing, because it was just... So we're headed back to the starting line with maybe a couple minutes left before the start, and I'm out of breath, my eyes are big, and Joe's laughing. I said, "Joe, what's so funny?" And he just laughed again. He said, "Well," he said, "I'm going to have to quit this in a couple years." He said, "I'll be 75 then. They tell me I'll be an old man." And that was his greatest joke. He knew better. I think he was somewhere beyond the age of 80 before I got him to quit climbing up the mast by himself. That was the spirit, not just of Windy Crest. That was the spirit of Joe Becker. Whatever Joe did, he did with great enthusiasm. He never asked anything of anyone. He just went about his task with a certain greatness, but always with a greater humility. If we won, great. If we didn't win, great, because we always had a great time. With Joe, it was all about the fellowship of others and the competition. I remember one time we were racing. This was our national championship. We were on Lake Tahoe, and the wind was behind us, and it was blowing so hard that the mast on the boat was actually crooked. It was bent forward, and all of you sailor guys know that's not a good thing. Well, we asked Joe, "Do we want to do something different before the boat breaks?" Well, at the time, we were in second place. And so Joe looks up the mast. He looks behind, and all but one of the best sailors in the nation are behind him. And he smiled, and he said, "Well, if it breaks, it breaks." And on we went. So Joe was always there for others, quietly and cheerfully doing whatever he could to make a positive difference. You know, in all my years of sailing with Joe, excuse me, through the strain of travel, pressure of competition, and certainly when a presumably clever crew helped to snatch defeat from the jaws of victory, Joe just never lost his cool. He never got in a flap, and was always the quiet gentleman that he is and was. He will be missed by all of us, but never forgotten. May we never run out of Joe Becker stories, and may we always have the spirit of Joe Becker with us. Thank you.
If you'll turn to the hymnal again, and we will sing our second hymn, "Have Thine Own Way, Lord." Make me Represent the grandchildren, Lisa will be reading the scripture.
My child, keep your father's commandment and do not forsake your mother's teaching. Bind them upon your heart always. When you walk, they will lead you. When you lie down, they will watch over you. And when you awake, they will talk with you. For the commandment is a lamp and the teaching is a light. And the reproofs of discipline are the way of life.
You want to stay? Okay. Additional scriptures for celebrating Joe's life. The family in discussion had come up with this passage as well from Galatians, beginning in the 5th chapter at the 13th verse. For you were called to freedom, brothers and sisters, only do not use your freedom as an opportunity for self-indulgence, but through love become slaves to one another. For the whole law is summed up in a single commandment, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So live by the Spirit. And the fruit of the Spirit are these: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things. So if you sow to the Spirit, you will reap eternal life from the Spirit. So let us not grow weary in doing what is right, for we will reap at harvest time if we do not give up. So then, whenever we have an opportunity, let us work for the good of all, and especially for those of the family of faith. And then in Romans, Paul's letter in the 12th chapter, we have these additional words. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. And then Paul lists these qualities. He says, let love be genuine, hate what is evil, hold fast to what is good, love one another with mutual affection, outdo one another in showing honor, do not lag in zeal, be ardent in the Spirit, serve the Lord, rejoice in hope, be patient in suffering, persevere in prayer, contribute to the needs of the saints, extend hospitality to strangers. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Weep with those who weep. Live in harmony with one another. And do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly. And do not claim to be wiser than you are. And do not repay anyone evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. And finally, these words from our Lord Jesus at the Last Supper. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another. Just as I have loved you, you also should love one another. By this everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. And do not let your hearts be troubled. Believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If it were not so, would I have told you that I go to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again, and I will take you to myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. And you know the way to the place where I am going. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Well, we gather today to give thanks and praise for that wonderful gift of life that all of us have received from our Creator God. We believe that God only wants good for us in this life, and we believe that God tried to show us the way to the good life by inspiring in the ancient sages, giving their minds and their understandings truth about how to find the good life, how to avoid the actions and decisions that cause broken relationships, that cause hurts and hardship in life. The ancient psalmist put it this way, Thy word, O Lord, is a lamp unto my feet and a light upon my path. Our New Testament, for us Christians, we see in the life of Jesus and in the teachings of St. Paul so many lessons about developing those spiritual qualities in our character and in our personality by practicing the spiritual disciplines of worship and prayer and self-giving service. We understand from the church fathers and mothers in the faith that when our faith opens our hearts and minds to God's indwelling spirit, then God's spirit of truth, God's spirit of love and compassion begins to shape and mold our whole outlook on life and changes the way we see other people and the way we encounter them on our earthly journey. Instead of seeing other people who are not in our family or our cultural group, not seeing them as enemies, we see them as human beings, as children of God, who we are to treat as brothers and sisters under the fatherhood of God. And when our hearts and spirits learn and develop this faith perspective on life, we develop compassion and understanding for others. We do not look at them as a threat to take something away from us, but we see them as interesting people that we want to know and want to include in our circle of friends. We want to help them overcome their problems, and we want to help them experience the good life, that meaningful, fulfilling life. In all the years that I've spent preparing messages for funerals and memorial services for the saints of the church, I have recognized that the people who seem to have lived the happiest, most fulfilled lives are those who found a sense of calling and purpose for their lives in that place where their special gifts, their abilities and interests and passions intersected with the needs of others and the needs in the community and the culture. In other words, these persons felt God's call upon their lives to follow their interests and their loves into their career and their life's work so that they became a blessing to others. But they were also doubly blessed by being such a help and a blessing to others while feeling like they were also being faithful to God and doing what they believed God wanted them to do. Well, it seems to me that this was the case with Joe Becker, finding his way into the world of sailing. Joe had inherited and learned from his father the gifts and skills of being a good salesman. Part of that is simply being a people person. You know, you like people. But the biggest part of that is a desire to help your customers find what they truly need and want. Now, most, if not all of us, have been frustrated and discouraged and sometimes irritated by a salesperson trying to push some product off on us that we don't want and we don't need. And we've experienced salespeople, on the other hand, who know their business and their products and really listen to us and our needs, and they come up with just the right answer that helps us find that answer to our problem and our need. Well, Joe learned and refined these good qualities working with his father in the oil field supply business, the family business. But his love of sailing and his great hobby grew and grew into a part-time business that then grew and matured into a full-time business and career. And he moved into that sense of vocation, calling in life. Joe did not like motorboats at all. He only loved the sailboats. Now, I think the difference is significant in a spiritual sense. Our human tendency in developing technology as human beings has made us develop machines that have tended to attempt to overpower, to master, and to dominate the natural world. Now, excuse me if I offend any of you who might be in the coal business, but the process of developing these monster machines that do the mountaintop removal, that pushes debris from the mountaintop into the streams, polluting the water and the air, and destroying the beauty of God's wonderful creation, and disrupting communities that have been there for years and years and years, to my way of thinking, is an example of the humankind trying to overpower and dominate and thereby destroy the natural world in order to get more power and energy to make more machines to further dominate and control the natural world. Well, we are learning again from the terrible storms and droughts and wildfires that we cannot dominate nature. We cannot control the natural world. We must learn to work with nature in harmony, in the way God created things to work. Well, I think sailing is a contrast to that. Sailing has no engines chugging along, spewing out pollution into the air and leaving an oil film on the water and in the water and making lots of noise pollution. But to make the sailboat go, you have to understand and respect and work with the natural world that God created. You have to work with the wind and the water and harnessing that power and working with it, but not dominating and destroying anything. And rather than building machines to do the work for you, it is you and your crew who are working in harmony with one another and with the natural forces that God created in nature. I believe that process is one of feeling at one with God and all creation when it all comes together and you go as fast as you can skimming across the waters. Well, Joe's family speaks of his competitiveness and loving to race and being thrilled about winning the race. But as we heard, he didn't get bent out of shape if they didn't win. But I suspect that it was not a matter of competitiveness that wants to beat the other guy in order to dominate and humiliate the other guy. I believe it was more a matter of that thrill of becoming the best you can be, doing the best you can do on this given day. You don't want to not be able to feel that you've given it your all and you've done your best. Then the challenge of competition pushes you to the limits of your ability. Well, that spiritual high of feeling at one with nature and that all that God had created and feeling the peak of your performance in this human body that God created and gave us and feeling that harmony of the teamwork of the crew all coming together is what Joe wanted others to know and experience in sailing. Well, Joe Becker was born March 17, 1918, in Marietta, Ohio, the oldest of three children born to Ruth and Joseph A. Jack Becker, Sr., for whom Joe was named, which made him a junior. His younger brother, Richard, was killed during the war, and only sister Sarah Sally, or Sally Sarah, she goes by both names, survives from the childhood home. And since his dad was in the oil field supply business, the family moved often, and Joe had to learn how to make friends and adjust to the new situations of the new school in a new neighborhood all the time. Well, those challenges made him a good problem solver, always looking for solutions to the ways to make things better. And when the family was in Houston area, Joe was introduced to the sea and boating. He became a sea scout and became intensely involved in building and restoring boats and transforming boats into sailboats and making a little business doing a taxi service to those who had their boats anchored out and wanted to come to shore. And when he was 18, his dad allowed him to take over the garage in order to build his own sailboat. Well, upon completing the boat part and beginning to make the sails, his mother found him at her sewing machine one day, getting ready to transform all of the family sheets into the sails for his boat. Well, obviously, she put a stop to that plan, and he had to come up with another solution for how to get sails for his boat. His love of the thrill of speed and feeling the wind blowing through your hair was demonstrated once when he was young and acquired a very long cable, which he attached to a pine tree. And evidently, the backyard didn't stretch out very far, so the other end of the cable was attached to the ground at a pretty sharp angle down, and he got his little brother Richard to give it a try. Well, this creating a zip line and Richard giving it a try had Richard going very fast head first down that zip line and crashing into the ground and getting injured. Well, that was a learning experience. Richard learned to think twice about trying Joe's experiments, and Joe learned to stretch that zip line out farther with a gentler slope, which he did later in his life, making a zip line for his girls. It may have been another of those experiments that he was making that injured his own eye and took the sight from that eye, making him blind in one eye. And that injury disqualified him when he tried to enlist in the military during World War II. So he served his country by going to work in the shipyard. At the time, he had already graduated from high school and had 3 years of education toward an engineering degree from Southwestern Louisiana Institute in Lafayette. But when he started at the shipyard, they sent him off to learn how to be a welder. Upon completing that training, he came back, but someone had learned that he had all this engineering training, so they sent him to the office to be a draftsman and to help work out the design problems with the destroyers that were being built at that yard. After the war, Joe was hardworking and adventuresome. He became a shrimp boat captain, and he built and operated a photo processing plant in Denison, Texas, and in which he was expanding his knowledge and love of photography, which he had begun as a boy. And then he spent 9 months in a salmon cannery in Alaska, and then came back to Texas and worked in a carburation business in Texas. Well, doing all of that, Joe still found time to go to church. And he was going to church when he met Jerry at a Methodist church, and they began dating and were married in Dallas, February 27, 1954. Now, the value of strong family ties was important to Joe's mother, Ruth, who wanted her grandchildren to be close. That was a strong motivator to bring Joe and Jerry back to Tulsa. And when they came back, they started their own family of three girls, Barbara, Becky, and Sandy, and they joined the New Haven United Methodist Church and were very active and devoted in raising the girls in the faith, establishing a faithful spiritual discipline in their lives. However, as soon as church was over every Sunday morning, the family was off to Mohawk Lake in order to go sailing every Sunday that the weather was good. Barbara remembers often having to change clothes in the car while they were on their way. Well, vacations were travels to sailing regattas and sailing events all the time they were growing up. It was a process of building relationships with the sailing community. The other things the family cherishes as fond memories of Joe were his love of big band music and dancing that he and Jerry did when they were young, and then he tried to teach the girls how to do ballroom dancing. And he and Jerry had a wonderful time with music and dancing. Daughter Sandy, the youngest, remembers going with her dad to the store and how careful he always was and thoughtful to try to create a safe place for her to play when she was with him at work. She also remembers how open and welcoming he was to her friends when they would come by the store. And they remembered Christmas mornings when Joe played Santa Claus and would give out the ho, ho, ho and hand out the presents to everyone. And then how he had set up the room with the bright lights to take the Christmas pictures. They remember the time one of the kids in the neighborhood broke out the rear window of Joe's car. Everyone was scared and worried about what was going to happen. But the other kids had a meeting and decided that Joe was such a nice man who treated them well that they just had to tell him what had happened to his window. And when they did, he responded with telling the kids, "It's okay, my insurance will fix the window." They also remember when Joe had some bigger boats at the house sitting in the driveway. Sometimes the girls would have sleepovers where they and their friends got to sleep in the boat, and how much fun that was. Well, you all can read in this all the details of all the things he won and all the things he did and when those dates are, and I won't go over all of those again, but read this. This is very fascinating, all the wonderful things that were a part of Joe's life. But let me conclude by remembering how Joe's faith allowed God's indwelling spirit to make him the man that you loved and respected, giving him those qualities of friendship, of care, and love, those spiritual qualities which allowed him to feel God's presence in his life, guiding him, directing him during his life, helping him make the big decisions, and helping him know how to serve the needs of his customers and friends, making him such a blessing to so many. We are also grateful to God for helping Joe guide and influence this development of the sailing clubs and the sailing community in Oklahoma, bringing joy and happiness and friendships. Joe Becker's influence enabled this to happen in a positive way. And then in the ways that he tried to use his engineering skills to always make things better and fix things, his love of people and wanting to be the best for them indeed made this world a better place. And so we trust that our God has welcomed him home into the eternal kingdom of heaven. Let us pray. Dear God of us all, we thank you for all with which you have blessed us, even to this day, for the gift of joy in the days of health and strength, and for the gifts of your abiding presence and promise in days of pain and grief and struggle. And we know that in Joe's last years, there was a lot of pain and struggle, but he kept a good attitude because of his faith in you and felt your presence with him. And so we praise you now for home and friends and for our baptism and place in your church with all who have faithfully lived and died. But above all else, we thank you for Jesus, who knew our griefs, who died our death, and who rose for our sake. And now we trust that indeed you have received Joe into the arms of your mercy, raising him up with all your people. But we pray today that you would receive us also, raising us into a new life, helping us so to love and serve you in this world, that we may enter into your joy in the world to come. Amen. And now may that loving Spirit of God shine a light on the path that we're on and show us which way to go to find life abundant and full. Amen and amen.